Penguin Random House Audio presents The Growing Season, How I Built a New Life and Saved an American Farm. Written and read by Sarah Frey.
For the Girls Who Steal Thunder and the Boys Who Help Them Do It. Introduction. Social Graces. Last night it happened again. At a cocktail party teeming with some of the most successful people in the country, a man assumed we came from the same place. I understood his mistake. On the outside, I looked, aside from being one of the few women in the room, as though I belonged. He wore a custom-made suit, I a designer skirt, blouse, and heels. He sported an expensive watch, I had on pearls. As we gazed out of the floor-to-ceiling windows over the sea of skyscrapers, we both held glasses of champagne. The latest notches on our resumes, too, were similar. We both ran companies that earned millions a year in revenue. I'm the CEO, or, as I prefer to be called, the founding farmer of Fry Farms, which sells, among other things, tens of millions of pumpkins and watermelons a year. My company, which has its headquarters down the road from my childhood and current home in a tiny Illinois town called Orchardville, manages thousands of acres of farmland coast to coast. In recent years, I've enjoyed expanding our agribusiness into the beverage and consumer packaged goods markets. Harvard Business School used one of my first major deals as a case study in the art of negotiation. If you've ever bought a melon or a pumpkin in America, chances are you are my customer. Thank you. Where the man made a mistake was in his belief that we shared a past as well as a present. I could see him struggle to figure out where we might have intersected. Boarding school? Martha's Vineyard vacations? Ivy League college? He asked the inevitable question. Remind me, Sarah, where you went to school? Was it Harvard Business, Wharton? That simple, common question once terrified me. I was afraid that if I answered honestly, I would be judged unworthy, and that it would be clear to everyone instantly that I didn't belong, that the pearls and the heels were a costume. At one time, whenever I was asked anything about my past, I would immediately change the subject. That way, someone like the businessman at the party could continue to assume that we'd attended the same institutions of higher learning, that we had roughly the same background, that I'd found my way into this room the same way he had. Now, though, I have a new response, the truth. I went to Frontier, I said confidently, and looked him right in the eye with a smile. Then I took a sip of my drink and enjoyed a moment, watching him silently wonder about Frontier. Was it some elite private institution? If he called the right people, could he get his kid transferred there from Columbia? Frontier is a community college in Fairfield, Illinois, about a half an hour's drive from my family's farm. It offers degrees in, among other things, automotive technology, fire science, and electrical distribution systems. It's one of the top two or three Illinois Eastern community colleges, of which there are four. Go Bobcats. As a child, I was a good student with dreams of heading off to a major university, just as I had seen my four older brothers do. But I was also living on my own at age 15 and needed to make money. While I was still technically in high school, I started taking college classes at Frontier at night while also working various jobs. At many events like the one last night, I often have the least formal education of anyone in the room, including the busboys. I'm also often one of the youngest people there, and one of the only ones who are female and from the middle of the country. And I am definitely the only person there who was born into a house with no indoor plumbing, grew up skinning deer, and was driving big trucks and tractors by middle school. When I talk about my company, I say that Fry Farms is a family business, which it is. But the words family farm usually provoke another round of uncomfortable questions. First, people assume that I inherited the company. A family farm? That's great. Did your father put you in charge? Or did your grandfather start it? I understand how this assumption is made. I don't exactly look like the image people usually have in their heads of a farmer, or a CEO for that matter. On nights like this, I'm frequently mistaken for someone's wife. I come across, they tell me, as elegant and well-spoken with a warm smile. What no one there knows is that on that very morning, I was clad in grubby jeans, my unbrushed hair pulled back under a ball cap, yelling over the noise in a sorting room. No way I'd be mistaken for a Wharton alum. How much should I share about my past and family? That's been a tough call my whole life. When people ask, how many brothers and sisters do you have? I might give the short answer. I have 4 older brothers in the business. It's not a lie. I do have 4 older brothers in the business. Sometimes I open up a bit more and say, my mother had 8 children. This is also technically true. Yep, I say to their inevitable astonishment, I come from a big family. Rarely do I admit the full truth, including my half-siblings. I'm the youngest of 21. Yes, you heard that right, 21. In most rooms, it's best just to talk about my 4 older brothers. They were, by far, the biggest influence on me. They taught me to hunt, fish, and live off the land. That knowledge gave me the confidence to believe that I could take care of myself no matter what happened. Those 4 know where I came from, as no one else ever will. Another thing people ask when they hear where I'm from is, you're from Illinois? I love Chicago. Chicago is a wonderful city, I reply, but I'm actually from southern Illinois. My home turf of Wayne County is much closer to Kentucky than it is to Chicago. It has a culture, a way of life, and a mindset that are completely foreign to people who grew up on the coast or in any major city. Where I come from, success is measured not by your educational attainment or bank balance, but by the size of your truck tires, the speed of your four-wheeler, and the variety of your gun collection. In my part of the state, there are no street signs, no lights on the roads, no stores for miles. As a child, I wanted nothing to do with our rural way of life. I couldn't wait to grow up and move far away to a big city. I counted the days until I would leave our 80-acre piece of rolling clay dirt in the middle of nowhere, what we called the hill. For years, I kept hoping my time there was over. I wished my childhood away. Sometimes I didn't think I would make it out alive. Today, I have a greater appreciation of where I'm from. Although we were dirt poor by most measures, in other ways we were rich. We had a piece of land, a big family, and freedom to roam in nature. We ate food we grew and caught ourselves. Ironically, that diet is now coveted and promoted as the ideal, clean, healthy, sustainable food with nothing going to waste. We had the original farm-to-table lifestyle. We'd pull things out of the ground minutes before cooking them. We would take what we called the ugly fruit and turn it into the most delicious dishes and beverages. We were eating organic, hyper-local, freshly prepared foods out of necessity long before it became a trend. Because I'm one of the younger CEOs in my business circles and my company's founder, people often ask me, how have you done so much in such a short period of time? The truth is, I started doing everything for myself early because no one else was going to do it for me. On the Hill, by the time I was 7 or 8 years old, I was doing things that most teenagers wouldn't even consider doing on their own, taking on projects that most adults wouldn't venture. I do not advocate deprivation as a parenting strategy, but I can't deny that, ironically enough, being disadvantaged gave me a huge head start. Even though I was 16 years old when I founded my company, it was more like I was 36 because of the lessons I had already learned growing up where and how I did. By grade school, I understood how to take care of myself and the people around me. That said, I do sometimes wonder what a normal childhood would have been like. And these days, given the choice, I'd much rather grow my food than hunt, gather, fish, or scavenge. As a result, I don't always fit in back home. I can track an animal for miles, but I don't like to do it just for sport. I'm a crack shot, but I'm not a member of the NRA. I know the woods and the fields like the back of my hand, but I prefer using Google Maps. The one thing that I do not regret is how much where I come from made me love the earth. With every part of my soul, I love the soil. I love owning plots of it. In that way, I am a typical farmer. It's the farmer's mentality to buy land and to hold it, then to buy more the second you can, even if it takes the last bit of cash that you have. The term for that is land poor. Even if you can't afford to do much with it, you don't let go of that land, no matter what, ever. The land is part of me. I love the sounds of the countryside, the smells. The air in the country is lighter and fresher. The food tastes better. The water is cleaner. The sunsets are more colorful. You can see every star in the sky at night. I can't even...
Sample complete. Ready to continue?